Hi, everyone, and welcome to Women on the Edge of Evolution, Awakening Our Power to Co-Create Our Lives and Shape Our Collective Future. My name is Paula Dowd, and I'm the Program Director of Feminine Power Global Community, the organization producing this event. I am delighted to welcome you to Part 28 in our series today, featuring honored guest Melissa Etheridge on the topic Fearless Love, Living Lives of Searing Authenticity and Audacious Courage. But before we begin, I want to take a moment to thank all of you for your active participation in this dialogue, both live on the teleseminar last week and also on our Facebook and Gaia groups. We continue to be inspired by the incredible support and enthusiasm that is coming in from all corners of the globe. As of this week, we have over 8,000 members on our Facebook group and a very rich engagement going on in our Gaia community that continues to grow every day. If you haven't yet jumped into the conversation and would like to connect with other women who are participating in the series, we encourage you to join us. You can find links to both our Facebook and Gaia groups in the confirmation email we sent you for today's call. We also want to thank our event partners and evolutionary sisters, Siona Van Dyke at Gaia Community, and Rochelle Marmerstein at The Shift Movie, as well as our 8 co-sponsors for all of their support. If you're joining us for the first time today, the way the call will work is that I will introduce Catherine Woodward Thomas, who is one of the 2 visionary women behind this groundbreaking series, and then she will introduce Melissa and today's call topic and process. Catherine is the co-creator with Claire Zammit of our Feminine Power Transformative Courses designed just for women. Together, they co-lead a global learning community that's dedicated to empowering women to realize their highest potentials and make their greatest contribution. Catherine is a national best-selling author and co-creator of our Feminine Power Transformative Courses, as well as other transformational teachings that have successfully been used by thousands of people worldwide. She's a highly trained specialist in transformative education with over 15 years of experience designing and facilitating seminars that support the emergence of life-altering shifts in consciousness, both individually and collectively. Catherine's coaching and facilitation integrates her 17 years of training and work as a psychotherapist with over 38 years of spiritual practice and study and serves as a powerful bridge between the two disciplines. She is also co-author of the forthcoming book, Feminine Power, Awakening to the Creative Force of Life. So welcome, Catherine, and I know I speak for all of us when I say how much we are looking forward to your dialogue with Melissa today.
Thank you so much, Paula. Hi, everyone. I want to welcome you to Women on the Edge of Evolution. I am Catherine Woodward Thomas. I am so excited to be here today with Melissa Etheridge. And before we start our dialogue with Melissa, I really want to thank all of you who are joining us today. I want to thank you for being in the center of these really deep and soulful and rich conversations about our role as women in consciously co-creating a world of deep heart and goodness and well-being for all. And, you know, we really need to partner with each other, to co-create together, to wake up to the larger picture with each other, to inspire each other to these possibilities that are present, and to encourage one another. And so for those of you who are really eager to connect personally with each other, I want to invite you to join us for the free Evolutionary Women's Cafe, a facilitated community conversation that's held after every call. So today that's going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific time, immediately following this call. And there's an opportunity for you on that call to engage directly with one another and others who are listening in from all over the world using this brand new technology of Maestro Conference. And with Maestro Conference, we get to meet together as a group on the phone, and then we break out into smaller discussion groups to engage more intimately with each other. So if you're interested in joining us today for that call immediately following this one, please check your emails, go to your inbox where we've given you a link to register yourself for that call. Okay, so today I am so honored to have an extraordinary woman of great heart and courage and creativity with us today, Melissa Etheridge. Since her very first album came out, which was titled Melissa Etheridge, it was in 1988, Melissa has been an extraordinary presence on the music scene with an extraordinary message. She has gone on to release 8 more successful CDs since then, 3 of which have gone multi-platinum, 2 of them platinum, and 2 others gold. Melissa has won 2 Grammy Awards for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance and also won the Academy Award in 2007 for I Need to Wake Up, which was the original song written for the documentary An Inconvenient Truth, and the lyrics of which could actually really be the theme song of this series. Melissa is often praised for being one of the first openly gay rock stars and is also well known as a devoted advocate for health, for environmental issues, for human rights. She's just been chosen to receive the Harry Chapin Memorial Humanitarian Award by Music Industries NARM for her activism as well as for all her philanthropic activities. And in 2005, Time magazine named her as one of the top 100 most influential people of the year. So she is now set to release her 10th album, Fearless Love, which arrives 2.5 years after her autobiographical album, The Awakening, and 6 years after her battle with breast cancer. Fearless Love is a bold and soaring declaration of her commitment for living and loving to the fullest. And what I really love about Melissa is her deep authenticity, her raw courage, and her unwavering commitment to truth, as well as her tireless devotion to the creation of a world that we can leave to our children with a clear conscience. Now, Melissa can easily be considered one of the all-time female rock icons, but she's so much more than that. She's a real human being with a real heart. She's a loving life partner. She's the mom of 4 children. She's a longtime seeker and teller of truth. She's a survivor of cancer herself, and she cares. She cares about people. She cares about truth, and she's consistently over the years taken huge risks to live an authentic life of courage and grace. So, Melissa, we are just honored and delighted to have you. I want to welcome you to Women on the Edge of Evolution.
Oh, my goodness. Can I call you, like, once a week and just have you just do that again? I have a recording of that, right? I can just play that back. Oh.
Absolutely.
I can play for my mom. I think that's what
you
I need to do.
You can play it for your mom, exactly.
Oh,
you did
thank
good,
you
mom.
So much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi. I've been living with you for days now, and
oh.
Just, like, in the center of you, so I'm just, like, so in, like, this deep appreciation. And I've been listening to your new single, Fearless Love, which I'm really loving. And, you know, it's got that famous, you know, Etheridge kick to it. But it's, but it's also this great message that I think is really relevant to kind of our ongoing dialogue together, which is I am what I am, and I am what I'm afraid of. So what am I afraid of? I need a fearless love. And it's like, to me, it just resonates. It's like that crossroads. It's like when we want to shut down, we want to stick our heads in the sand, and instead we open our eyes, we walk forward, we go with courage, we go with commitment. I'm not backing off. I'm going to stare this down. I'm going to be who I am in the face of this. I'm going to love the way I was born to love. That's what I'm getting out of it. So I'm loving it.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you. Well, it's a declaration, and it's I think what I try to do, when I write a song, I realize that music is a lot of things to different people, and music can be a soundtrack to their lives. I know that music is a soundtrack to my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I can get people to be snapping their fingers and driving down the road singing, I am what I am, and I am what I am afraid of, so what am I afraid of? You know, I need a fearless love. And maybe they don't know what they're singing, yet it just like a mantra. If you just start singing, maybe it'll sink in. Mm-hmm. And when they come to that crossroads, when they come to that place of okay, the world is happening to me. Poor me. All of this is happening to me. I'm just going to fold up because I can't win for losing. That place that we get to.
Mm-hmm.
If they can go, wait a minute, I am what I am, and I am what I am afraid of, so what am I, I'm afraid of this, so if I just go through this fearlessly and start stepping through it, then I'll see that it will all just disappear into the vapor. And my life will organize in front of me fearlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to just shine a light on that and sort of, put my hand out and go, see, just step over it. You can get through it. It's easy. It'll all disappear.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, there's it's such a pertinent, relevant message with what's happening in our world, because there is this desire to kind of contract away from it. Sometimes looking things squarely in the eye for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
17,000 children a day dying of starvation in the
yeah.
world, right? I mean, these things are unbearable in some way. And yet to be able to open our eyes, to look forward, to take action, to do what we can, to take it on, it just feels so relevant to cultivate this kind of courage at this time in human history.
Well, courage, I've had a funny relationship with courage, because I often get, even in your introduction, it's, courageous. Oh, you're so brave. You're so courageous. And I keep thinking, okay, why do they think I'm so courageous? Because I said I was gay. I told the truth about myself. Oh, because when I was bald, I was bald, and that was the truth. And I started thinking, wait a minute, we actually live in a society where just speaking the truth about ourselves, just saying, hey, I'm a gay breast cancer survivor, is courageous. Speaking mm-hmm. our truth is courageous. And that's where it's like, let's back up a little bit and examine what we are considering courageous. And how about if this was just normal? If all of us just agreed every day to wake up and go, hey, this is what I am. And that would change the world.
Yeah. That would rearrange some things, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We wouldn't spend so much energy and fear trying to arrange ourselves so that other people see us a certain way, even though we don't feel that way.
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy.
Well, and I think you're making a good point about courage, too. I don't know that courage actually occurs as courage.
Yeah.
In the moment.
No.
It actually, in the moment, it occurs as something kind of scary. And
it's
risky.
A choice. No, yeah, well, it's just a choice.
It is, right.
That I have, I've learned that voice never lets me down. People ask me, after you came out, publicly about your sexuality, did that hurt your career? And I say, well, I went from selling just under 1 million records to, when I came out, the record that I had sold 6 million records. So I really can't say that it hurt me. It has always, I have consistently been rewarded every time that I step into my wonderful, beautiful vibration of truth and say, this is what I am. And so when the universe now, when my life lines up before me and I see those choices, I'm like, oh, this is it. It's like I've learned now. Oh, I'm going to take the fearless choice. And because I know that's where the pot of gold is right there.
Mm-hmm. But there had to be that moment, where you didn't know that for sure. I mean, now you've learned that in hindsight, mm-hmm. looking back, that you've been rewarded for telling truth. I know you didn't grow up in a home where you were encouraged to tell the truth, as a matter of fact, the opposite.
Kansas. No, you're right. Supposed to make everybody else comfortable. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, but that's what our 20s are for, is to learn all that.
Yeah.
In early 30s. And then, and we as women, I think that's the biggest problem with us as women, is we are caretakers. We do have that instinct to care for and have compassionate empathy. That is our instinct, and we are then easily influenced to then give all of our power away and give all of that caring and the compassion to everyone else and not to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get messed up. Mm-hmm. We can be compassionate, and we will save the world, and we need to save ourselves first.
Right. Right, it's like that old that old model, feminine, is kind of giving as self-abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is now giving as profound self-expression.
Yes.
In a way that fosters evolution and growth for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only way. You can't, yes, there are that many children dying from starvation every day, but until you save your own self from dying of starvation, of love or caring for yourself, you cannot do anything for those others.
Wow. That's pretty deep message, huh?
Well, that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of what I'm realizing as I'm floating through all this.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if you can share a little bit deeper about like what you went through. If you go back to, there was some place where you made that shift, right? Because you were raised in this home. Mm-hmm. It wasn't okay to tell the truth. There were secrets in your home. Mm-hmm. You write about it in your wonderful autobiography.
Mm.
What is it called? The
Truth Is. Yeah,
The Truth Is, which is for everybody who's listening. It's a really interesting read and fascinating and just, again, in traditional Melissa fashion, like deeply authentic and searingly true. Looking for truth, seeking truth.
Mm-hmm.
And but you talk about how, you know, telling the truth was not okay. And so there had to be that anxiety going up to having this breakthrough, this shift into, no, I actually need to be who I am and I need to be it out loud, even if it costs me everything. Right, because you didn't know that you were going to go from selling a million.
No, I know you don't.
Million.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but I did know. I did have enough. You know, my family was definitely that typical Midwestern family of we don't tell anybody our feelings, we don't even tell ourselves our feelings. And my parents, who grew up in the tumultuous, you know, depression, and so they just wanted to have enough food on the table and have some peace, and that was really all that they intended and created, and they did, and yet a lot of their own inside issues really, you know, were they didn't know how to handle them. So I grew up in that, and so I had this nice base of, hey, you know, whatever you want to do, go do it and be happy. So I didn't have anyone telling me I couldn't be what I am or I shouldn't be. So that's key. That's very key. So I had this solid ground of support, kind of quiet support. And going out in the world then in that, I also came out to my folks before I left, you know, for California. And they were like, you know, well, we don't understand it, but as long as you're happy, you know, you go, girl. And so I had that, once you have that solid basis, then you can go from there. And the more that I sort of entered into the professional world, the more I saw that, you know, the universe was showing me that the way I was going to make my break was I was playing in lesbian bars. I was playing in women's music festivals. I had a little, you know, women's following. And then I was signed by a major record label, and I was thrust into brought into the major world of you know, records and radio, and yet I was still that girl who just played the women's music festival. So I wasn't lying, but nobody was asking me, and I had made three albums, and I thought I'm getting fans, and if people are going to stop listening to me because I'm gay, then they weren't listening to me to begin with, and so I thought, okay, what have I got to lose? Yeah, maybe I'll lose some record sales, but what I have to gain is myself. I can live with myself then. And it was one of those choices that I look at, that one of those forks in the road that it's like, no, I got to go this way, because that way is just, that would make me crazy, you know?
Right. Right. Couldn't sell your soul to the devil there.
No, at the crossroads,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Hey, so you wrote about, I want to talk about your Fearless Love album that's coming out. It's being released in April on the 27th, which, by the way, a month out, and it's already in the top 100 on Amazon.com. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. And it's not even out. Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
It's already in the top 100.
Oh,
so,
that's nice.
Yeah. So you wrote Fearless Love as really this tribute of moving beyond fear and really harnessing love and standing for love. And I'm wondering if you can share about your creative process and coming up with that message.
Well, that's, just grab your tea, because that's a long story. you know, my journey, I've been doing this for a long time. And this was my 10th studio album. And I think finally, I'm finally getting it into my head that I have a certain amount of success here and I don't have to worry anymore. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years and I finally think that, okay, maybe I don't have to worry about my day job. Maybe I'm okay. And so with that final...
Staff waitressing at Harry's Diner.
Yeah, you know, I can finally let that in. I can kind of have a confidence. And, this industry is brutal. It's very brutal on anyone's self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And I knew that what I had to do was believe in myself and believe in my work and believe that what people want to hear is me singing my truth, singing my soul, my heart, and doing it the best that I can and exciting me and playing the music that I love. And keeping that in mind, that encouraged me and forced me to be fearless, because every time a fear would come of, oh, that's, you can't sing about that, or oh, they're not going to get that, or oh, that's not what's on the radio now, you have to, you know, any of those little fears that come wafting by me, it was very clear, no, I'm sticking on this path. This is the litmus test, is if it thrills me and I love it and it comes from my soul, that's what it's got to be. So I that was my intention from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs always come first. And so mm-hmm. I sat down, the end of 2008, I started this. And beginning of 2009, I wrote all the songs and would come in here and just believe and just pull them out. And the songs, I mean, they start from, the inspiration comes from every different place. It can be lyrics or music or a thought or a phrase or a rhythm. It's all different, but it's just about me being open to it and capturing it and putting it down.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, if we really look in, you know, from the inside of this conversation, co-creating the future of our world together, you know, all we have to do is open the morning newspaper to see how much fear there is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So kind of battle between where are we going to stand? Are we going to stand in fear? Are we going to contract in the face of it? Or are we going to cultivate love and grow ourselves and our capacity?
Mm-hmm.
I think is a really relevant one. And I'm just wondering if you look at kind of from a global or world-centric perspective, how you best think that we can really respond to all that's happening in the world and really kind of proactively weave together a world that's more based on the principles of love and care for each other?
Well, I would encourage everyone to seek for the love. I would encourage people to turn off their news. The big machine of media that's got us in its grip of fear is just that. It's a big machine, and it is only presenting you with the fearful things. For as many stories of war and starvation and unhappiness, there are just as many, if not more, amazing, courageous, loving stories. Seek for those, find those, and then create those yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, mm-hmm. I think that morning newspaper is a big part of the problem, because mm-hmm. there's someone making that choice to only present you with the fearful aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are people going over to these countries, there are people dealing with this every day that see the amazing, positive, selfless, compassionate, giving, courageous people that are out there changing the world. And the world is changing. It's a quiet, soft revolution that is changing. You guys are part of it. You guys are an example of what's happening of all over the world. And no, you're not on the front page of a newspaper. You should be, mm-hmm. but you're not. And yet, this is what's happening, and it's going to keep happening until we do break through on the newspapers, until the morning newspaper says, "Hey, guess what? There's a lot of hope in the world."
It's beautiful. Yeah, there really is something so beautiful that's waking up for all of us. And you're right, it's happening. It's happening.
It's like a flame. We have to get oxygen to it and blow it up because it's happening.
Right, it's happening through us, and it's happening through us each time any of us make that choice.
Yes,
that you were talking about earlier, to be true. You know, to express ourselves at the deepest level. And give our gifts to the world. And I also want to highlight, because I love what you just said, and it kind of, you know, could get lost unless I say, oh, wait, go back. Because what you said was, you know, we want to start creating those moments ourselves, right? So it's not just passive reading of what's happening in the world. It's also then generating something new, right?
Yes, when you create it in yourself, it will then manifest in the world, and you will see it in the world. And you have to start with, I'm waking up this morning, and you know what? I'm going to do something nice for myself. I'm going to look in the mirror, and instead of going, oh, what's that line, or what's that, oh, that hip, my hips, oh, my God, what did I eat last? Instead of starting with those negative thoughts, you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you say, hello, gorgeous. And give that love to yourself, because that's the connection then that will manifest out in the world, and you will see it reflected back to you all day long.
It's beautiful. You know, your song, I Need to Wake Up, the one that you won the Oscar for. I'm just loving that song, too. I just love that song. And I really think that the lyrics kind of nail what's happening for us here, too, and what we're engaging, which have I been sleeping? Have I been careless, dismissing all the distant rumblings? I need to move. I need to wake up. I need to change. I need to shake up. I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep, and I need to wake up now. And I almost see that song, because that you wrote that in, what, 2006 is when the movie came out? Or 2006?
Yeah, no, I wrote it in 2005, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you write it because you were asked to write it for the movie, or had it come to you beforehand?
Well, I had just been through my life-changing experience of breast cancer, and then the subsequent treatment, which is a whole nother, we'll take another hour to talk about that. And I'd just been through and had a life-changing experience and had an awakening myself to, because I would sit there on chemotherapy day after day and week after week and month after month of complete silence and stillness and no television, no radio, no nothing, no magazines, nothing. Nothing. And it was amazing. It actually, the whole ego, my whole mind and its chatter, everything stopped. And I found this incredible spirit. And it was very simple and very clear. And I'm waking up. My spirit is waking up, my soul. I'm going to start listening to that voice. And I started kind of walking that path. And as I understood the way that intentional creation works, the way that life works, reality works, when I started to understand that, I started dreaming big dreams. I said, okay, well, if this is really how it works, then I want to change the world. I want to change myself, and I want to change the world, and I want to work with people who want to change the world. And I'm laying there in bed going, that's the dream I want to dream. Why dream any smaller than that? if that's the way this works, then I'm going to dream huge. And I said, yes, I want to work with people who want to change the world, and I want to win an Oscar. You know, because that was, you know, one of those things I tacked on the end. And, you know, if this really works, then maybe I can win an Oscar.
Yes.
And I told my yoga teacher this. I said, you know what? I'm trying something out here. And I'm going to tell a couple of people. I told my wife. I told my yoga teacher. I said, I might be crazy, but this is what I believe now. And so I told them that. And then as everything unfolded in front of me, a couple weeks later, I get a call from Al Gore. Says, you know, he said, I have this slideshow. You want to come see on global warming? I'm like, sure. And then he said, well, they're going to make a little documentary out of it. You want to write a song? And I thought, oh, it'll be shown in some high schools or something, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just, you know, awakening to all of this, myself, I was reading everything I could. I was reading about quantum physics and cosmology and astrology and, you know, all of this. And so as I saw, when I saw the film, when it was finished, I was like, good God, this is just, you know, it's world changing. And it's also the change going on inside of me. So instead of singing about global warming, right, I wanted to represent what I thought and felt was a seismic change going on, not only in myself, but in the world. And so I just wanted to write about waking up and, you know, I am not an island. I'm not alone. I'm connected here. And I am my intentions. That's what I am. I'm not, I'm trapped in this flesh and bone, but I'm my intentions. And so I have to wake up and understand, what am I intending here? What am I doing? And so the song was about waking up. And I wanted I wanted it to reach anyone.
So brilliant. It's so brilliant to have not just made it like a song about some abstract cause, but it was so personal, and it so captivates the feeling that one has when you're watching it, like brings us right into the center of, that's what it really boils down to, is that each of us actually needs to take that on and wake up.
Yeah.
And stop turning away from all the distant rumblings.
Yes, and it can be overwhelming. You can look at that film and want to crawl under a rock and go, how can I possibly do anything about this? It's so big and down the road. Yet the key is, and that's what I wanted to have in the song, is it is up to me. I can make a difference just by how I feel about myself, just by waking up to my own power.
Mm-hmm. And turning towards what the change is, as opposed to trying to, you know, defend against it, go to sleep.
That's beautiful. No, just wake up and be in it.
Well, and that you, I mean, that's an amazing story too about your process that you were lying there and said, I wanted.
Oh yeah, so my yoga teacher
changed.
Oh my gosh, so my yoga teacher calls me. You know, I get this note from her. I hadn't taken yoga from her for about a year, and I get this note. She goes, there I was sitting in my house, turned on the Academy Awards, didn't even think about it. She, you know, wasn't really tuned into that, and she goes, and I saw you on the Academy Awards. And I saw you win an Oscar, and she said, I screamed because you told me a year ago that you were going to win an Oscar, and there you go. And I said, there, it worked. Good. So I have a witness.
Oh, man.
And that's what intentional creation can do. You can, when it comes from your heart, when you want to do good, when you it comes from loving yourself and your desire, you can do anything.
Right. And I mean, and that's the power that we all have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
To live at that level and to really cause something. So I think, you know, when you say that, it's so important for us to remember how much power we have through the power of intentions. Actually, the first call we ever had on the series was with Lynn McTaggart.
She's doing great stuff.
The intention experiment.
Yeah.
And we all set an intention together.
It's powerful.
Call. Yeah, about really causing the conscious evolution of culture. You know, really just like having an impact in the world, and this whole idea about the restoration of the feminine or the feminine's returning, it's really about the power of love and the power of relatedness that each and every one of us is going to start to generate and bring and cause in the world. And that's it, right?
That's where I'm operating from. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying. It's like, okay, you want to see how to do this? Just watch me. I want to do this on such a large level that it's like, see, this is how – easy or not, you know, this is how it is, and look what happened. See, that's my driving force.
That's beautiful, and you were right on the precipice of that, because you gave that language before the wave hit. Like, we're in the wave now, right?
Yeah,
so you gave it language. You're like a trumpet blower, like, this way, everybody.
And that's the fun part, because it works every day. Every day, it's like it's like a. I tell my friends, it's like a big game. And once you understand the rules, once you get past, you know, level 7, you're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
And it gets easier. It does.
Right. And there's a way you're also, you're kind of inside of a relationship with the creative energies of life, too, that's very organic, too. I'm really hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. So it's personal, but it's collective, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in the collective. You see yourself as having an impact, that you know you matter. You know, and I think so many women don't get how much they matter.
If you can find that book or that person or whatever it is that can just stimulate that part of your psyche and brain and spirit that understands that you matter because you are the one that's creating it all. You matter because you are everything. We are all, you are me, I'm you, we're all connected in this awesome unity. And of course you matter. Of course you do, because everyone is creating this.
Mm-hmm.
And if once that can click, then there's just some light that turns on that becomes clearer.
Right. I mean, to really wake up to our impact, even the impact of our own consciousness. And I'm so happy that you told the story the way you did, because you went back to the source of it, which is I really went deep within. I had my own awakening.
Yeah.
And I was listening to that part of me. And that's where it really came from. So it was inside of this, like, deep, soulful, dynamic relationship to life that's very co-creative. And August Gold was just we had a woman named August Gold on last Wednesday, mm-hmm. and she was talking about this very thing. I think it's so fascinating, because she was talking about, if you want to connect with that still, small voice, turn off the television.
Yeah.
Get quiet.
Turn it off. It's about stillness. It's so hard to find stillness today.
Yeah.
Because you can just be with computers and TVs. With all those screens, they can just suck the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you unplug, you look around and you see there's a lot of zombies walking around. You're like, whoa. And
yeah.
You start hearing a different vibration once you get out of the media vibration. And when you listen to that, it's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful.
Well, I love hearing this from you, because, you know, you're not only are you a mother of four, but you're a star. You're a rock and roll star. Talk about being busy, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So it's a practice, though.
Yes.
I'm hearing this as a practice. This is something that you value, that you effort, that you make sure happens for you.
Yes. And it all comes together. It's a way of life, and it's a choice. And once the paradigm in which we're all sort of plugged into, this society that we find ourselves in at the turn of the century in America or the world, this idea that our food comes from a box or from the building down the street, and their idea that we just work ourselves to the bone, and then if our bodies break down, we get sent to this factory called the hospital, and there's doctors there, they're going to give us a pill and they're going to fix us, and it's a complete false paradigm. It's this crazy machine that just grinds us up and spits us out, and you got to unplug yourself from that whole thing. Once you do, once you start looking at food differently, looking at health differently, and what is health, how does a vibration, looking at money differently. It's like we got to change the whole paradigm, the whole thing. It's all crumbling anyway. We just got to, you can get out from under it right now and see that old way is going away. It's dying. And there's a whole new world coming that's fabulous, and that we can start creating ourselves right now.
Right, in our own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And start preparing from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
to be present to it, to midwife it through us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's the power of the sacred feminine, and here we are.
Yeah,
here
we
you're
are.
Doing it.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing it together.
Yeah, it's cool.
And so, you know, a lot of on the series we talk, and also in our teaching, we have a teaching called Feminine Power, and we talk about becoming ourselves fully in order to make our greatest contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And we touched on it a little bit before in the call, how your home, where you grew up, you really were never allowed to tell the truth. That just wasn't part of it. It wasn't even not allowed. Like, it wasn't even an option. It wasn't
in the
culture. It wasn't even a possibility.
Yeah.
And so to even tell the truth to yourself, right? So there's like this very kind of, you know, deep woundology around not being gotten, not being seen, things that were happening that
mm-hmm.
nobody was acknowledging, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course now you have this extraordinary gift of being the teller of truth
mm-hmm.
to the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we talk about how our biggest wounding is often our greatest gift to give. And I'm wondering if, you know, you can talk a little about the process of how do we spin straw into gold in
yeah.
this way
well,
and create this kind of...
That's how this works. That's what we're here to do. And once you can look at these perceived negative things that happen, I mean, I would not be the truth teller I am today had I not grown up in
yeah.
in that repressed environment, had I not pushed against it. That's, we enter into this reality. We are born into this. Our spirit comes in here and already agrees to what's going to push against it so that we can push through it and become the greatest that we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And we agree that this will keep coming up in our lives until we get it. You know, you're going to start seeing, I think, as you get older, I know that's what's happened to me, is, you know, now at 48, I'm starting to see, okay, these problems that keep coming into my life, they're all related. They all have to do with the same thing. And all I got to do is learn it. I got to figure that out and then make that choice differently, make that fearless choice, make that choice of love, because everything comes down to love and fear. And if I can then walk through this every day as this comes up, I can look at now when something comes into my life and is a perceived problem, there's a part of me that goes, yippee, boy, this means I'm going to learn something great. And that's what the Hindu philosophy, the Buddhist is like, they bless when the problems come. They're like, oh, great, you're going to soar now. Because,
oh, wow.
You know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, they call me up when they get cancer, or their friend, and, you know, or they've been told they got 3 months to live. I call them up. I'm going, wow, isn't that great? And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, look at this. Look what life's given you. This means you have the capacity now to, for just as low as you can get, that's how high you can get.
Wow.
And I'm one of those crazy people that look at my cancer and went, God, that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm.
And I try to get people to not wait till cancer comes to them. But, you know, let's learn to make that choice before your body has to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That was a real big awakening for you that time.
Oh,
so the time of turning everything off and just sitting there quietly, that was all really kind of initiated from having gotten cancer, yes?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what a great example then of being grateful for the challenge. But you also rose to the challenge and you navigated it well. Right? So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that too. The relationship that we have to the problem, and that's what you're talking about, like a certain way of perceiving whatever's happening to us as really happening as a gift for our own, as an opportunity for development and growth,
yes.
Information, right?
I find that the most important tools we have are gratitude, love, and forgiveness. And everything that comes your way, you reach into that bag and you go, you know what, I'm going to meet this with gratitude. And if something happens to me, I'm going to meet it with forgiveness. Because anytime you can do that, you are clearing your own karmic plate or whatever you want to call it. You are clearing it and coming from that place, and it makes them smaller. It makes them quicker to get out of your life when you can meet it with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. A lot of people, I'm kind of even looking at the Q&As that are coming on the instant teleseminar. I was looking at them before we even started the call.
Mm-hmm.
And people are asking about this living true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes getting to know yourself somewhat, you know. And I'm wondering if you can, just talk a little bit about, like, with some guidance for people around this process of really living true to yourself.
Mm. Well... It's a path. It's something that if someone's really asking me about that, I would say it's a process that as you work it every day, you can see the results instantly. And I would say, I know that I've done these things on a very large level that I can say, look, you know, I spoke true, and this is my career, and you know, and getting up bald in front of people, and those sort of big, huge. I do things on such a large level,
right?
Yet most people, you can have this every day in your life, and you know, the speaking true. Why I say speak true is because that's where so much of our creation comes from. Is what we're saying, how we're presenting ourselves, what we're saying to our families, to our coworkers, to our friends. Watch your words. Your words, you know. Any of you that know Don Miguel Ruiz and the, you know, the Four Agreements, it's one of those. So be impeccable with your word, and that's not just so that you're a nice person. It's so that you understand that everything that the process, the thought process, and then the speaking process that comes out of you creates what you have. This is about you. It's not, we got to kind of, again, when we talk about the turning off that feminine taking care of everybody thing. Take care of yourself. It is about you. You can't take care of anybody else till you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that living in your truth, really sitting in it from, you know what, I really want to eat this right now, and that's my truth. And you know, or I really want to do this, or I want to say this, or, you know, just where it comes from. I can't, truth is a big, huge, you know, word. It's a big, huge thing, and it's a vibration, actually, inside of you. And once you can, if you can get to that vibration once, then you'll know, okay, that's the marker. That's where everything's got to come from.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk it that way every day.
Right, and I'm really hearing you say that it needs to start with telling the truth to yourself.
That's it, man. And I'm talking about getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and telling the truth to that woman in the mirror, that one right there. You tell her you love her and that you love her body and you love everything about her.
That's awesome.
it's powerful. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And that gets taken away from us, and it's that media that does it. It'll suck that out of us.
Yeah.
It'll make us think, you look at that magazine or that TV show, and you think, that's what I'm supposed to look like, and forget it. We're down the toilet, man.
Right. When I was reading your book, I was really kind of captivated by a lot, actually, that you have in there. But one of the stories that I really loved was you know, that you were there the day that the Berlin Wall came down.
Mm.
And I don't know if you can talk about that a little bit. It just struck me as something so kind of in your realm of possibility from having been in that experience that things change. These things that we think are so fixed and immovable,
yes,
that actually change.
It was a huge metaphor for me. It was that I had that experience before I came out publicly.
Wow.
And it was so amazing to be. I happened to be touring Germany at the time that all that was going down, and I was hearing, you know, they're leaving East Germany and going through Hungary and Austria and up and into, you know, that things are happening, and oh my goodness, where are they going to, you know, and it was the youth and these, it was just an amazing time, but a scary time because you didn't know the communists were the tanks going to come rolling in. And I remember the night before we were going to Berlin, my tour manager, who happened to be German, he said, okay, we were supposed to drive overnight on the bus and wind up in Berlin that morning. He said, well, there's some rumblings, there's something going on, and we don't really know what it is, but we're going to drive. And he said, if they start shooting people, we'll turn around and go back. That was, you know, what I went to bed with that night.
Wow.
On the bus. And I remember sleeping, and I woke up, and the bus, the motor was on, but the bus was still. And I didn't know where we were, what we were doing. And I got up, and I went to the front of the bus, and I looked out, and I was in a massive traffic jam of East German people flooding into West Berlin because they had just opened the borders. And everyone at the borders were greeting their German brothers and sisters. It was insane to begin with. And they were giving them a cup of coffee and 40 Deutschmarks spent. And these people were flooding, and it was amazing. Anytime I tell this story, I just weep because we got to the hotel. It was just this, everyone was looking at each other with the change that people, that just the goodness of people and the desire of freedom and self-expression can change the world. And I went down to the wall, and the Russian guards were standing on the wall at the time,
uh-huh.
but they didn't have any guns.
Huh.
And so it was this, okay, we're still on the wall, but we're not armed. And everyone was gathering around the wall, and we kind of moved closer and closer. And I remember we were maybe 10 feet from the wall, and this little 4 or 5-year-old girl just walked up to the wall with these soldiers on it, and she kicked it. Oh, my God. I just was like, oh. And that night was the night that the chainsaws came out, and they started tearing it down. The soldiers went off. And I mean, that metaphor right there of people with their bare hands pulling down a wall that's dividing ourselves. It is this is the age of getting rid of the division, of there is no more us and them. We are all in this together.
Mm.
And it was so powerful. Whenever I met with, especially like in the gay community, oh, this will never get our, I'm like, no, are you kidding? We already have them. We just have to wake up to the fact that we're all here in this together.
Right.
You know, and I've seen that. I wrote a song on my Lucky album called Giant, which was totally about that. You know, I'm a giant, and I myself and my fellow human beings brought this wall down, and it was very powerful. Yeah, it was really amazing. I think of it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, and I really appreciate your sharing it with us today too, because that's a great metaphor for us. That's
mm-hmm.
what we're really up to. And we have to know that it's possible, and we have to know it like in our bodies. That it's
yeah.
possible. That's awesome.
That's where fearlessness comes from.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. When you see the possibility, and you're more focused on the possibility
yeah.
than on what you could possibly lose in that
yep.
moment.
Yep.
And that's more important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. Melissa, on a practical level, you know, with a... You know, I mentioned before, you know, that you're, I'm sure, insanely busy. So when you talk about having silent time, I know it's something that you take on as a conscious devotion and make sure happens. But, you know, the truth is that all women are pretty crazy busy, and there's many different things pulling on us, just modern-day life, computers everywhere, way too much email, whatever that is, you know. But practice... You know, really needs to be at the center of all of this for us. None of us can borrow against it. And I'm wondering if you can talk about your own personal practices that maybe you could share with us that really keep you centered and sane and on the path here.
Hmm. Wow. You know, what's funny is I've never been that woman that, you know, I've never had a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a... I'm not following any certain spiritual path per se.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I get yoga 3 times a week. That's an important thing to me. Yoga is, I can't speak enough about yoga because it's a timeless practice of understanding energy movement in your body and how to work with your body. And it's very strengthening. And I would just encourage anyone to, if they're not already, to get involved with some sort of yoga practice. That'll change your life just starting right there.
Beautiful.
And then the other kind of practice I follow is what I eat, what I put in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a practice of choice
mm-hmm.
every day of, I'm going to go to the grocery store, and you know what? I'm going to put that thing out of my head of, oh, it's so expensive to buy organic. You know what? What are you going to spend your money on, if not yourself? You know,
and your well-being and your health,
well-being.
Right?
Yes, spend it on that. Do without the dress, okay? But spend the money on the good, wholesome, healthy, chemical-free food. That's mm-hmm. what your body needs. That's the way it works. We come here. We're on this sweet Mother Earth. She gives us all we need. The sun puts the information in the plants. the plants grow, we eat the plants, we have that energy in us. That's the way it works. That's the way our bodies work. And we have cut off a part of that chain by creating these foods that are not real.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot sustain. We cannot live on corn syrup. And that's what most of these processed
right.
foods are, is corn
right.
syrup. That's it.
Right.
And that's a practice. That's something that once you find a baseline of health, then when you eat those things, you'll start to feel, I'm a little more depressed. I'm a little more slower. That's because I'm not giving my body the fuel.
Yeah, I think those things really have such an impact on our moods
yeah.
and our sense of well-being in ways that we're not even conscious of. And it's not until you take on a practice of clean, healthy eating that you start to realize how
right.
unwell you are when you
exactly.
divert from it. Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think those are two really important practices, actually. And I'm inspired. As you were talking, I'm thinking, where I could go to a yoga class today. I haven't been to yoga
yes.
class in a while. So.
Yoga is so good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, Melissa, I want to open the call up now to the conversation because I know there's a lot of people who want to speak with you. There's questions
mm-hmm.
already that have been coming in since, a half hour before the call began. So we're going to take some questions. So if you are listening right now, you have a question for Melissa, I want to invite you to send the question via the instant message on the teleseminar window on your computer, or you can dial into the conference line number and press *2 to let us know you have a question. So if you're on the line right now, you can just press *2, and that's like raising your hand over here.
Mm-hmm.
You see a little icon come up with your hand raised. So before we take your questions, I just want to say a few things I want to let you know about. So first of all, for those of you who want to find out more about Melissa Etheridge, you can go to her website, melissaethridge.com. She's got a concert schedule there. You can listen to her single, Fearless Love. You can also go to Amazon.com and buy that single already, even though the album's not released until the 27th of April. You can buy Fearless Love now. And so I just want to encourage all of you, go to Melissa Etheridge. You've got a bunch of stuff on your website, too, which is really interesting, like activities that you can do to kind of green your life up and all sorts of good stuff. So that's melissaetheridge.com. And if you would like to find out more about our work, you can visit femininepower.com and download a free 75-minute audio called Awakening the New Feminine Power, How to Become Your Authentic Self and Co-Create the Future of Our World. That's femininepower.com. And each week we like to shine the light on great work and evolutionary offerings of some of our event partners and co-sponsors. We're very happy to tell you about one of our beloved co-sponsors, the Agape International Spiritual Center, that was founded by our good friend, author of Spiritual Liberation, Michael Beckwith. The Agape International Spiritual Center is a trans-denominational spiritual community whose doors are open to all seekers in search of authentic spirituality, personal transformation, and selfless service to humankind. So you can now join the Agape community and hear Reverend Michael live each Wednesday and each Sunday by going to their website, www.agapelive.com, and signing up for the live streaming of their weekly sacred services, and that is absolutely free. The new online teleseries, it's very similar to Women on the Edge of Evolution, but includes men too, is announced on evolutionaryspirituality.com. Join 18 of today's most inspired spiritual luminaries for a groundbreaking conversation on how you can evolutionize your life and participate in co-creating the future. Presenters include Michael Beckwith, Deepak Chopra, Jean Houston, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Ken Wilber, Brian Swim, Michael Dowd, and Craig Hamilton. The name of that series is Awakening the Impulse to Evolve, and you can find out more about it and sign up at evolutionaryspirituality.com, and that is offered also for free. Our friends also at Integral Enlightenment are very happy to announce the launch of their new online academy for evolutionaries. Registration is still open for their 9-week telecourse, Integral Enlightenment, Awakening to an Evolutionary Relationship to Life. The course starts Saturday, April 17th, and you can learn all about it and download a free introductory audio seminar at integralenlightenment.com/telecourse. Okay, so we are now going to open the call up for questions. If you have a question for Melissa, send us your question via instant message in the teleseminar window on your computer, or dial into the conference line and press star 2. Okay, so let's see here. Oh, we have a ton of questions, of course. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, I actually have, I show names here, so I actually have two men's names, and we don't normally take, I have a lot of questions from men, so I'm actually going to go to Miami, Florida, and see if that's Douglas or if someone's using Douglas's phone.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
In Miami? Are you from Miami?
Yeah, I'm from Miami.
Okay, it's not Douglas. Who are you?
Alexis.
Hi, Alexis. We are on with Melissa.
I'm a girl.
And Catherine. Hi.
Alexis is a boy's and girl's name.
Okay. So what's your question for Melissa today?
I want to ask her about her mother because...
Well, you're talking to
I'm
her.
Having...
So you can just talk to her.
What?
You're talking to her now, so you can
okay.
just speak to her.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello, Alexis.
I've been a fan of you since, like, for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And you actually wished me happy birthday, like, a week ago. On the 12th, I'm art. You were on Bradley Online, the interview you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm
cool.
art. It's a nickname.
Okay.
Great, Alexis. Do you have a question today?
Yeah, I want to ask her about her mother because I read her book, and her mother and my mother seem very similar. And
so what's your question about her mom, though? You have a specific
question?
Yeah,
I don't know if it's too personal because I basically moved out of my house yesterday because I couldn't take my mother anymore.
Okay.
Wow. Well, so you're 25 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. 25. 25 is a very intense year with mother-daughter relationships. I think they either come together or they break apart at right around that age. And you are about to enter into, if you follow astrology, you're about to enter into your Saturn return, which is around 27. And the things about our mother and the things about my mother is at 25, I actually kind of came back together. I started understanding, looking at my mother as a human being and not as the one who was supposed to be.
Oh, be quiet. I'm talking to somebody on the phone. Sorry. I'm staying at my grandparents' house.
Ah, see, it's difficult.
And I'm of Jewish and Cuban descent, and I'm religiously Catholic. So.
Wow, so you've got a lot of guilt going on. You've been raised in that. You're steeped in it. Yes. Well, you know what? It's what Catherine and I have been talking about. It's about taking care of yourself now, and you're going to find yourself wanting to blame your mom and blame this. And it's time to you're just. I also don't think that we fully grow up until we're about 30. So you're still in the process of growing up. You're in the process of kind of unhooking from all the emotional blender issues you've had with your mother. You just got to kind of take the hooks back out. You got to put them inside yourself. You've got to start focusing on yourself and your happiness, and start sending love and gratitude towards your mom, no matter what. I mean,
and I do. I pray every day. And I pray for her to find peace in herself.
Yeah, I
just gonna tell you a little bit about my background.
No, we don't have time for that because
we're gonna take another question.
Oh, sorry, I'm up the time. I'm sorry.
All right,
and I gotta go anyway. I gotta go to class.
Yeah,
right.
Good. You take care. Lots of love to you. Okay.
Lots of love, Alexis.
Thank you so much. I'm coming to see you April 3rd.
Right on. We'll rock in Vegas. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye, Alexis.
Next.
Oh, great. Okay, I also have a James in New York City.
Uh-huh.
James. Oh, see, it's Hello.
Hi. Actually, it's. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Ingrid, actually.
Hi, Ingrid.
Hello.
Okay.
I just want to say quickly, thank you for this amazing call. It's so inspiring. And my question, Melissa, is how do you deal with public criticism? And more specifically, how do you, when you're in the moment, in the midst of facing fear, like engaged in a very active situation, say public performance or speaking or something like that,
mm-hmm.
what is a practical process that you use to transcend fear right in that moment when you don't have a lot of time and you have to come out on the other side of it? And along with that, how do you deal with public criticism? Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome, and thank you for that question.
Hmm.
Okay, it kind of is the same answer, both of those questions. It's public criticism. Once you start creating and you understand that your intentions are manifesting in front of you, that everything that I encounter every day is a reflection of my thoughts and my feelings about myself. So when I hear public criticism, I understand that it is just merely an echo of those deep, dark things I feel about myself. And I think, okay, what is it that I needed to hear that? Why did I need to hear someone say, oh, she looks fat, or oh, she's a dyke, or, you know, whatever those things that, you know, can come out. What is it that I, what dark place inside myself have I not cleaned up that I need to look at? I certainly am never going to change. People are going to always think whatever they think, and it's not up to me to change their thought process and their perception of life and of me. It is what it is, and I have no control over that, and so I relinquish that. My only job is to look at how I feel about myself. So when I'm in a position on stage or something where something will happen, maybe one might perceive as fearful, I have to greet it again with the tools that I have, which are forgiveness and gratitude and love, and they melt away. It could, you know, maybe I forgot words on stage or something. I mean, everything's happened to me on stage. I've fallen off the stage before.
Oh my God.
You know, so anything like that, I just meet it with immediately, you know, forgiveness or gratitude, and you can change anything in the moment by how you feel about it. And once you kind of start that practice, you get better at it, and you can do it on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oops, sorry. I got interrupted quickly.
Bye.
Okay, how about from Stony Plain? Hello?
Stony Plain. Where's Stony Plain?
I don't know. What's AB? What's AB stand for?
That's
what?
Alberta, isn't it?
Alberta. That's Canada, isn't it?
Do you have me?
Yeah.
Are you Stony Plain?
Yeah. What's your name?
This is Renata Kovas.
Hi, Renata. You're on
Hi.
The list.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Where is AB? We were trying to figure out where's AB.
Alberta, Canada.
Alberta.
Oh, Alberta.
Yeah. I'm actually just outside of Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Melissa, it's wonderful to hear you. You sound strong. And I want to thank you for Skin, number one, that
You're
album
welcome.
Many years
thank
ago.
You. You're
it
welcome.
Certainly helped me through one of my first breakups. So,
Anyway,
actually, I had a question with regards to the fundamental absolute. If you could pinpoint it right now, if you could just track back to the absolute turning point, when you became completely authentic with yourself, an event? Was it the cancer diagnosis, the times that you turned the TV off, et cetera?
Oh, wow.
I know.
I don't know if there's one. It's a journey, and it was, I mean, looking back on it, I can see, but at the time I didn't know. But looking back, I think there was a moment in Ottawa, Canada.
Oh, my second hometown.
Yeah, I was in Ottawa. I was playing this casino, I think. I don't know. And I was backstage with my drummer and my guitar tech, and I was sitting in the room, and it was kind of that lull time before
and it was 2004. And I remember saying to them, I just don't know. I don't know what's happening anymore. I'd been to the mountaintop. I'd been famous. I've had the big, and it was just all kind of blank and dark and empty. And I remember, you know, just standing in front of them, looking up and going, okay, universe, what do you want from me? What's this all about? You know, I'm ready for whatever, but I don't know what it is. And that next morning is when I found the lump in my breast. And it was like, okay, well, you're ready. Here we go. And everything changed after that. Yet, when I look at it, I also see that there were changes. It was in motion before that.
Right.
So there's not one specific moment.
Yeah, that was a pretty profound one, though. Thank you, Renata. Thank you.
Do you feel that in that moment that you truly, like there was a, was it like a cloaking that came over you and you felt like you were in this bubble and then all of a sudden, like obviously the next day, the realization. But was it this sense of, wow, okay, this is my next phase of which I'm going to learn, carry forward, and then come up? Really, truly, authentically, come out to the world in whole self, not just fragments, you know, against the conservativeness that's occurred in the world, against, you know, the community and things, but really that moment when you felt completely protected in a bubble and that thing was going to...
It sounds like that's what you're looking for there to be a moment of that, and that is not... I wouldn't say there was a moment where I was like, okay, here I am inside this, doing this. That comes with reflection back on things. Unless you really get used to it and you sort of start working it for about 5 years like I have, you understand that we're always in this state of grace.
Becoming.
And becoming.
Always.
That's where we are always, and it's only our perception of it that needs to change. So some of us are looking for that lightning bolt moment of ta-da, of awakening, and what we wake up to is the reality that we've always been there and we're always here. Mm-hmm. Next question.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Melissa. There's someone in Silverdale, Washington, who has a question. Hi. Hello.
Hi, it's Betsy outside Seattle. Melissa, I love you. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, thank you, Betsy.
That's a perfect segue. I had a quick comment and then a question. Mm-hmm. As you were speaking, I've been listening to a lot of these calls, putting my hand on my heart, what's my life's purpose? I'm ready to take action. I've done enough listening. And I get from you being ourselves. Can be a life purpose in some form. So thank you for that. And I think as you were speaking, I wrote down, yes, I am. I think you've always been you. We've just chosen other substitutes in the past for the truth of who we are. So I'm just enlightened. So thank you.
My question
is about children and raising children and this enlightenment, the shift, the universe, the source. How do you relate this to kids growing up in the world we're in today? Is there some special tools you use? They are, I don't know how shielded they are from the world, but that's my question.
Well, boy, and that is my lesson every single day. I was telling my best friend the other day, every day I go to school with these kids because they are constantly teaching me something. And it's one thing to sit here and understand source and understand intentional creation and manifestation and, oh, yes, and I'm one with my energy flow and understand. And it's another to see your child who is, early adolescence coming into this massive soup of a crazy reality that we have and try to give them the tools.
Yeah, we want to help them so much.
We want to help them. And absolutely, again, the best thing you can do is to be truthful to yourself.
Yeah,
and to be that example and walk through it. And my kids, you know, they they think I'm crazy. They're like, oh, Mom, you're talking that voodoo stuff sometimes, they'll say. And I'll say, just check it out. However you feel about this, let's see what happens later. And I've actually been able to kind of walk through in a very simple way of, look, however you feel about this is how it's going to end up manifesting in front of you. And it's very simple things, like just, you know, positive thinking, you know, and they actually have the knowledge inside of them. They came, we all did. We came here with...
We all did. That was earlier point. Yeah.
We all came here with that. And if we can, if I can keep enough of this stuff out and let that original strength grow inside of them, then they'll be years ahead of it, where I didn't come into it till I was 40. They will, in their 20s, already be able to be walking this, because it
just
will seem
the
natural
to them. The program
and
the example, and when they struggle, be there for them. I guess it is all simple. It just is really hard, because you talk about the kind of the corruption of the world and all this, and how they're exposed in the internet and all this. And it's just, I sit back and wish that I could change.
Well, again,
the activity.
It's looking at the world fearfully.
Yeah.
And you've got to show them how to be fearless, and not fold up when you hear the news, and when you it's turning that news off, and creating your news, creating your world yourself. Looking around, and going, isn't that pointing out the positive things, seeing the positive things in yourself, seeing the positive things in them, and just creating that positive flow all day long, and pretty soon they will start creating it themselves.
Absolutely, and I'm doing that. I have a recent empty nest, but now I'm a grandmother, so I just...
There you go. You get to do it all again.
Yeah,
well,
and
you get to be the wise grandma. Thank you.
I just want to point out that I went to the same place, Melissa, that you did, back into the conversation before, where we were talking about creating the world ourselves, and I think for our children, it's to teach them to be generative and creative and connected to their own inherent creativity.
Yeah.
And to be living from that place of centeredness. They, too, have that partnership. They, too, have access to that same energy of creativity that's, you know, always ever, you know, related to deeper possibilities. And I think that the more we can teach our children to respond
and caring about others,
react.
And,
absolutely.
And then also letting them have their experience, too, and not be afraid of it. They came here to learn themselves. They came here with their own set of things that they have to experience, and to allow it, to just surround them with love and support them and allow it, not try to keep them, because a lot of us become enablers then and keep it away from them, and then they never feel it until they're in their 20s or 30s and all of a sudden they're in rehab or something. You've got to let them feel it now.
Great.
That's a hard part too.
Thanks, Betsy. That was a great question.
Thank you.
I'm going to take one of the... let's see, one of the instant messages here from Ren Elise in Kansas City.
Hey, my old home.
How do you find enough inspiration and clarity to create such wonderful material with such a powerful message? What are the key habits you have developed or the tools you have utilized which brought you success and joy in your creative process?
Getting out of my own way. I started writing and creating when I was, you know, 10 years old. And I did it because I loved it, because I loved the way it felt, and I had this crazy dream of people wanting to hear what I did. So I would do it. I'd do it in high school, and I'd play songs for my friends, and they'd like it, and just believing the feedback, believing in myself, oh, this feels good, so I want to do it. And then walking that path, and now having crafted songs and performance for, you know, 35 years, I now have a belief that I'm going to come into my office here. This is where I work now, where I'm sitting now. I get my guitar, and I open up that crown chakra, and I say, okay, come on, pour it in. Let me be a vessel. Let me just be a channel for this, because I know it. It's out there. There's a collective conscious that I've just been tapping into for 35 years, and I'm just quicker at it than most, because I've just been doing it for that long. And I just open up and I put the intention forth. I put the intention of I want to be, you know, truthful. I want this to come from a loving place. I want to change the world. I want to move people. I want to move myself. And then, boom, it shows up. And I just, and if it doesn't show up, it's like, okay, great, it didn't happen today. I just keep fear out of the room. No fear is allowed in here. And I just make myself available. I just show up. That's the hardest part, is just getting here.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, let's go to Joanne in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. You sound good.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, thanks for showing up and for doing so real and in a way that just is deeply inspiring. And I, 5 years ago this month, had breast cancer as well, and I'm working on a CD that I'm going to be giving away to women who've completed treatment for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a CD of my own messages and experience. But I'm curious, if you're willing to share, in looking back, what was most challenging for you after treatment ended, in that, what I call that kind of funky limbo place? and how did you address, whatever the biggest challenge was for you?
Well, wow, yeah, because the treatment that they've got for cancer, this chemotherapy stuff is, I predict in 10 years that that's going to be gone, and we're all going to look back and go, that was a really barbaric thing we used to do to ourselves, is really pretty crazy. It's very debilitating. It takes you out of your body, out of your strength, really knocks you down. And so coming back into the world, especially if you've lost your hair, and you know people's looks, they look and they go, oh, did she shave her head, or oh, is she cancer? You know, it's like this crazy trying to get back in step with that crazy world. And yet I found that I didn't want to march to that step anymore, that it was walking in the world that way that led me to this sickness.
Hmm.
And it was, I have to find my way across this stream, or I've got to, there's my own path in here. And I while I was on treatment, that, you know, I explained before, that's when this awakening came, this sort of understanding of spirit, and I didn't want to lose it. And I knew if I just held on to it and greeted whatever came into my day with that and spoke impeccably, truthfully, whether it was what I was ordering at the restaurant or if someone was talking to me about it, or I perceived someone was thinking ill of me, or there was a conflict, it was like I have to greet it with this spirit and hold on to it. So it is, we are changed, and I think the biggest thing I would say is don't try to fit back in. That's where the trouble was. Celebrate your uniqueness now. You are part of a sisterhood of breast cancer, of women who know who've been on the other side of this, and celebrate that. Be that. Be unique. Be crazy. Be the crazy girl down the street. That's cool. You know?
That's fabulous. Thank you.
May I
on my CD?
May you what?
May I quote you on my CD?
Oh, do it, please. I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Good luck. Yeah.
Thank you.
Same to you.
Great. And let's hear from Margaret in Lancaster. Margaret?
Hello. This is a nice surprise. I never expected to be chosen. Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much. It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
My question has to do with how one so spiritual and fearless as you fits in an intimately permanent relationship with another person.
Yes, our ultimate challenge, I think. Well, relationships are... Where to jump into that? We are never going to have a perfect relationship with anyone else until we have a perfect relationship with ourselves. And the answer is always within ourselves, is having a relationship with ourselves and loving ourselves. And sometimes people, by loving yourself, you create a vibration, and people either vibrate away from you then, and conversely, then others will vibrate toward you. And that's how you create relationship with other people, is understanding the balance and vibration in yourself, and always remaining true to that. And then walking side by side on your path in perfect allowing in the other person walking on their path. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of relationships like that, because we, especially as women, we get messed up in our relationships. Mm-hmm. Because we give a lot of ourselves away, or I'll just change this. Oh, you don't like that? Okay, well, I can do without that. And you concede and you concede, and then who are you? And mm-hmm. So it's about having that relationship with yourself. There's a new song on my new album called To Be Loved. Mm-hmm. And the line is, there's no love from someone else if I can't love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and I'm still waiting to be loved. Is what it's about, it, you know. And so that's where I am right now, is understanding that I'm no good to anyone else unless I'm good for myself.
Oh, that's so well said. Thank you. It's so true.
Well, thank you. You live that. Be that. You can. We can all be that.
Yeah.
Love ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was really an extraordinary message that I think is so pertinent for we women who have just kind of in our lineage a history of thousands of years of self-abandonment. Right, and what you're talking about, I mean, what I really heard you say, Melissa, is that we have to love people from the truth of who we are in a way that allows them to leave and move away from us if that's what's really true for them.
Exactly. Thank you.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Talk about trusting life, man.
There's
fearless love right there.
Right there.
That's the love that we're really desiring, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you. It's time. And, I think this clock is a little fast. Let's take one more question here. Mm-hmm. Let me see. This is related, I think, to the last one. This is from Carrie in Alberta, Canada. What happens when I have an intention that I believe strongly in, but my family isn't ready for the change that it would create? I feel stifled in the physical place that I am now, but certainly won't abandon my family in order to follow the voice. I feel pulled in two directions and ineffective and inauthentic.
Mm.
It's like a deepening into this conversation, actually.
Yeah, it's about vibration. It's about everyone in your field of vibration, everyone who is in your life, in your reality, is there for a purpose, and they represent a part of you. And if you can look at your family and say, okay, each of these represent the fear that whatever change, whatever I'm intending and I'm, you know, wanting and desiring, the universe is already creating that, and it's there for you. You look at your family, and they are the outer manifestation of your inner fear. And I promise you, if you take your focus off of your family and them being the ones that's keeping you from your own perception of what they're doing to you, if you pull the hooks out of them and just focus on yourself and go, okay, what am I really afraid of? What am I afraid of being alone? Mm-hmm. That if I make this choice, that everyone's going to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing myself, that it's not going to be what I thought. Whatever those little things are, just look at them and get out your tool bag and go, okay, I forgive myself for thinking this about myself. I'm grateful for this feeling because it has led me to this desire, and I'm just going to love. I love my family. I love them. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do is love them. They're going to have their own perception of whatever is coming. And then walk it every day and see it and visualize it and know that if you love yourself and truly love yourself, you will never be alone. There is no alone. And then look for the echoes that come back every moment in that. As you walk this along, you'll see it. The answers, the support will come in your whole manifestation. It'll be there. And the ones that truly aren't going to support that vibration will vibrate out of your reality. They will, all of a sudden, they'll get a job in the next state. They will literally vibrate out. Because that's the way it works.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. You know, there's such a transformation happening for women right now. And we really are such a transitional generation. And so we're dealing with all of these things in our collective psyches that are really challenging to us, these kind of thousands of years of history of self-abandonment and organizing around other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're all called to collectively now is exactly what you're talking about, Melissa. It's to become ourselves fully, to begin to participate in the evolution of consciousness in the world from a place of profound creativity and trust in life, to do it from our authentic voices, and to take the risk that other people are going to not be pleased, are going to be upset and angry or whatever that is, and to do it as lovingly as we can, you know, to just speak our truth in a way that's really loving and clear and courageous, and that's it. That's the call right now. Melissa, thank you. I just know that I speak for everyone that this has been such a deep, nurturing, inspiring, and encouraging conversation.
Oh, well, thank you. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Oh, we'd love to. Thank you so much. Really, I really appreciate your time and your wisdom and who you are. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Much love to you.
And everyone, melissaetheridge.com, and you can purchase her new single, Fearless Love, that's available on Amazon. And you can even pre-purchase the album, which is coming out on the 27th of April, and that is already in the top 100.
That's funny.
So awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Melissa.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
What a rich conversation. I'm so grateful for her wisdom that she shared today. So if you guys are interested in diving deeper into the conversation, you are invited to join our Facebook and our Gaia groups, and you can participate in the discussion forums, and you would go to Feminine Power Global Community on Facebook.com, or you can click in the look in the email we sent this morning, click on the link to join those communities. If you have any friends that you think might be interested in joining the series, please forward them one of our emails so that they can join us. And if someone sent you this audio, or if you found it in some far-flung corner of the Internet and you'd like to listen to the other dialogues in the series, please visit womenontheedgeofevolution.com. And finally, I want to thank our team at Feminine Power and all of the sponsors who have made this possible, including our event partners, Gaia Community and the Shift Movie, and our co-sponsors, Integral Enlightenment, iEvolve Global Practice Community, Agape International Spiritual Center, Enlighten Next, Next Step Integral, and the First 30 Days. Please join us this coming Wednesday for our next Women on the Edge of Evolution dialogue and check in your inbox to find out who the next female luminary is going to be on Wednesday. We've not yet finalized that, so we will be letting you know via email. And I also want to remind all of you to hop on the new call of the Women on the Edge of Evolution's Evolutionary Women's Cafe, which is the conference call immediately following this one, where you actually get to speak to each other about the content of this call as a way to get to know each other, as a way to really share about what opened up for you in the dialogue that you were just listening to. So we want to invite all of you to join us for that half-hour engagement on Maestro Conference, where you get to actually speak as a group and then break out into small discussion groups. So if you're interested in joining us for that call immediately following this one, please check your emails. Just go to your inbox, and we have given you a link to register yourself for that call. So until then, I want to thank you for joining us, and we are going to unmute the line so that we can all say goodbye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.